How do you hear God's voice? Well, we're going to try to answer that question to our best of our ability as we can today on the Open Ended Podcast. And with me today is my good friend and co-host.
Hi, I am Meg, and he's right. We're just going to talk about it to the best of our ability. And today actually is just slightly out of our norm. We won't be talking about a sermon today. It is just a conversation about hearing God's voice. This is something that we have chatted about, talking about. We've talked about how we're going to talk about it a couple of times because it is one of those ambiguous seeming things in the Christian life and in your relationship with God that, you know, do you hear his voice? Do you not hear his voice? How do you hear it? Some people hear it audibly. Other people don't. You might say that it's in their head or in their heart, or some people just know when they hear God's voice. Some people wait on confirmations of sorts, things that they're praying about. So we're going to just unpack that today.
Right. I'm excited to talk to you about it too. I know we've led into it a couple times in a few of the episodes, but I have my own ideas about hearing God's voice and my own experience with it. But I'm interested in hearing how you hear God's voice, or how, you know, what's your interpretation of hearing God's voice in your own life?
Yeah, I think the concept of hearing God's voice, because God made us all so individually and with so much intention, I really believe that it can differ from person to person, and that's between you and God, your personal relationship. And for me, I think there's a few different ways, but I have never heard an audible voice. I operate off of, you know, when people say, I know that I know that I know that I know that blank. Mm-hmm. There is a soul peace, and what would be the word that I'm looking for? It definitely is beyond peace, and it's, I suppose, a form of confirmation. And just to quickly unpack confirmation as a side note, another one of those Christianese things, I think. Confirmation.
Great. I love Christianese.
And that's something that we want to avoid. If this is your first episode, we've recently talked about how we want this space and this platform to not include Christianese. And if we are, then we're going to explain what we're talking about, and we're going to use that language from then on. And confirmation is something that, you know, if you're praying for something and, for example, let's say I'm praying for something and I really want to know the answer. I might not care what the answer is, but I want to know what God wants. I want to know what he wants. Mm-hmm. And then some complete stranger walks up to me and says something related to something that I've prayed for, then I'm going to say that's confirmation that God used that person, right? Mm-hmm. That's confirmed then for me that God answered this prayer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Confirmations can be an answered prayer. It can be anything where you feel like you've gotten an answer. And so for me, it's a form of confirmation when I have this peace in my soul. And the way that I have developed that, actually, I think I really started realizing how to sense that is when I started making set lists every week for the worship team. And I pray over those. Those are I don't just blindly pick a song and go, okay, we're doing How Great Thou Art this
weekend. I've watched
you
list those out, and you do blindly just pick them out. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? You're crazy. I do not do that. Okay. You're making that up.
All right.
I feel really strongly about not doing that. I think that there's, in the same way that a speaker is going to prepare a message and they can't just, well, hopefully they don't, just pick a topic and go, all right, we're going to just talk about this today, right? It's I want to hear from God. What does our church need to be singing this week? What do we need to be proclaiming to you or about you this week? Whether that corresponds with the message or not, a lot of the times Holy Spirit will work that out, and it does. Yeah. And other times it's just something that's specifically needed to.
I'm glad to hear that you take such time and consideration into what God wants you to be singing for the weekend, because you're really guiding us. You're starting our spiritual journey with the worship music.
Yeah, it's true. It is. And I think some worship leaders would see that as a lot of pressure, and depending on the approach that some people might take to the worship leader, it can feel that way. Mm-hmm. But it is such an honor to be used in that way, that it's really important for me to have a relationship with God. If I want to see other people thrive in their relationships with God, my little tiny part in their life that I have for 20 minutes on a Sunday morning is a really, I find that really important.
You that think to you be only get 20 job. Minutes?
Well,
you run into 30 all the time. So I don't know what you're talking about, 20 minutes.
But, okay. Fair enough.
No, I'm just kidding. You can worship as long as you want.
No, that's fair, Mike.
No, the Holy Spirit speaks through you. I was wondering if you heard God's voice through music a lot, like since that's your world.
Well, it's very interesting that we were just talking about confirmations. Sometimes it's through a song. Yeah. I'll be, and sometimes I really, this is another thing, is it's deep in my soul. I don't hear something audible. I really do rely on God using what he's created as tools to show me what he wants. And so sometimes I'll be, let's say I'm struggling with something, and all of a sudden a song that I know I haven't heard on the radio recently, has not come on my Spotify playlist recently, I haven't heard it in years, it'll just pop up in my head, and suddenly I know all the words and can just sing the whole song. I am like, God gave that song to me in this moment. And I know that came out of nowhere in quotes, air quotes, but it came from God. I really count that as God put that in my mind. And so that's kind of what I take as, that's the way that I operate with hearing God's voice.
God, that's great. So when you talk about confirmation, so my confirmation, even before I was a Christian, was through TV shows and movies, like things I was experiencing in life and questions that I was having. The scenario would come up on a TV show or something like that. And that's kind of how I'd be like, that is so weird that I'm going through this problem right now. And this episode happens to be about this problem. Now, I'm not basing my guidance off of Friends or MacGyver or whatever the TV show was. But that's the way that it started. But now I hear God's voice in my head. It's like my own voice. That's what I associate with God's voice. So, yeah, I guess it could be audible. It's not like a booming voice or coming from a donkey. A donkey once talked to Jesus. But the interesting thing, and did you know that some people don't hear a voice in their head? Can you imagine?
What do you mean?
You have a voice in your head that's going through problems and talking through situations. And like when you're problem solving in your head, when you're thinking, I have a voice that I hear in my head while I'm thinking. You don't have a voice inside of your head while you're thinking, like your thoughts. You don't
like
hear
you can hear.
You don't hear your own voice when you think thoughts.
Hold on. Let me think of that. I'm not hearing anything. I'm just thinking it. What do you mean? You can hear your own voice?
Yeah, I can hear, when I think, it's in my own voice, but I hear it. Like right now.
I think I'm one of those people who doesn't hear that. I don't.
So you don't, what, when you think a thought, what is it? Just, is it a cloud that forms in your head, or how do you process the thought? Like they're not words that you're, are thoughts in your head?
I guess it's my voice, but I'm having to like work really hard to like hear my actual voice in my head. It's just, I don't know. It's just words. So, like I'm looking at your notebook and I'm like trying to think, that notebook is leather and it has a rope on it. I'm trying to like think that in my head. And I don't know. I just don't hear anything. I'm just, it is the voice.
You don't hear anything.
No, but that's okay. That might just be
like, it's not an audible voice, but it's your inner voice. You don't have an inner voice?
I don't know. I guess not.
No, that's amazing. I've read and heard that other people don't have inner voices, and it sounds so peaceful because my inner voice is like constantly going.
Huh. Well, it's interesting. I guess it just sounds different because it's not like someone who, I mean, like me, I guess I don't have this voice in my head, but I definitely still have thoughts. I still have, I have, it's not, I wouldn't call it peaceful, but that's because I maybe just don't know what it's like to... There's no way we could compare what it feels like or sounds
so
like.
So here's a good explanation for it. So yeah, it's just a voice in my head. So it's like me talking, but without actually saying the words, without moving my lips.
Does it have like a little reverb on it too? Is no. A little echo in there?
You know,
since
as much
it's
as
hollow.
Because it's hollow. I thought you were saying that because you know how much I love reverb.
Oh, no, because it's hollow.
Because it's hollow up there. Touche. Okay, you got me. Fine. All right, so moving on. So I have a voice. I have a voice in my head. It's a subconscious voice, and it's just like my regular voice, but I'm just not moving my lips. So it's my thought process. Like if I was to say something, it's just in my head instead of it coming out of my mouth. So, but I can hear it out of the left side, or I can have it in the left side of my head or the right side of my head. And when I was trying to discern which one was God's voice, because it tricks me sometimes, like the devil will talk to me in the same voice. And I found that I listen to God's voice through the left side of my head. I hear it in the left side of my head more than I hear it, or I always hear it in the left side of my head. I never hear it on the right side of my head. So I've been able to determine that when I hear it on the right side of my head, that it's not God's actual voice.
What? How do you have a specific side of your head?
Because recently I've been going down this journey of what is really God's voice. You know, sometimes it's been a pit in my stomach or a gut feeling. You know, you just innately we feel when something's wrong, right? If I'm about to go do something and it feels wrong and bad, it's probably, and if I compare it to scripture, then, and it turns out it's going to be bad. And so over the years, I've just learned that when I have a bad feeling in my gut that I know isn't right, it's God telling me that it's not right. You know, it's not necessarily an audible voice. So he speaks to me in a lot of different ways. You know, as we already talked about, music, TV shows, gut feelings, and sometimes the voice in my head. But so like for an example and getting really vulnerable with you is that I've told you before that when Jen goes out of town or even before I was married, whenever I go into hotels or by myself, those are my most vulnerable moments where I'm most likely to relapse or make a bad decision, right? Mm-hmm. And so when say for an example, Jen will go out of town, and that voice inside of my head will be like, oh, no accountability. No accountability. You can watch a little porn. Nobody will know. You know, no one's around. Clear your browser real quick, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Watch that inappropriate stuff. You know, have that person over that you're not supposed to have over mm-hmm. whatever it is. You know, even going as far as drinking, which I don't have those thoughts when Jen goes out of town or I go out of town. But still, I still hear that voice inside of my head. Mm-hmm. And it's always driven me crazy because I'm like, they're the same sounding voice. I don't know which one to believe mm-hmm. and which one to trust. And so recently I heard this guy explain it. And he said the exact same thing that I was toiling with. And then he went on to explain it. And he's like, yeah, I have those thoughts. I'm like, and he's like, my wife's out of town. Or my wife just left for work. I'm going to go watch some porn, do some bad stuff. And then she's never going to know. And then he said, but what I do is, for one, that's pretty obvious. That's not God's voice, right? But when it's a little bit more ambiguous, mm-hmm. he says that he just compares it to what God's word is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that was such a light bulb moment for me. But the way we're supposed to hear God's voice, from my understanding, is in God's word. God's word is God's voice. So yeah. That's number one. But if we're going off of our own voices in our head or our own intuition, you hear God's voice. If you think you're hearing God's voice, just compare it to God's word. Is it scripturally based? If it's not, then it's not of God what you're hearing in your head. Mm-hmm. So, and then other things that I hear too is, well, let me pause right there. Did you have any follow-ups for that? Did you follow along?
I just totally agree that there's a reason that God breathed. It's a living word. It's him talking to us in the same way that we're going to get, you might get something different or deeper the second, third, or fourth time you read the same exact scripture mm-hmm. passage, God might show you more things, is the reason, one of the reasons this is considered a living word. He can talk to you through that. But that is the basis. If it doesn't line up, then it is the devil in disguise.
Yes.
Right? In your mind. Your thoughts might sound the same. But yeah, I love that. And I think something that it reminded me of when you were talking is Luis, my husband, and I were reading. We were on a road trip, and we decided to do this like ebook. Well, it's a print book, but we got the ebook version of it, and we're just reading it to each other, whoever was in the passenger seat. And it's called "He Came to Set the Captives Free." And it basically, I'll just super quick recap, is that there's this woman who, from a young age, ends up getting kind of tricked into becoming a Satanist, and she serves Satan. She's like becomes like Satan's mistress or something. She basically climbs really high up in these rankings. And long story short, she ends up just totally getting rescued from that by God, and she is Christian. And because of those experiences, she's able to tell really well what's God's voice and what's not, because she saw how easily Satan disguised himself as something angelic, as something. And so I think in the same way, when you're hearing that voice, even though it sounds exactly the same, she knew, you know, her part of her testimony in that book is that she knew, even at face value, it was like, wow, he appeared as something really bright, beautiful, all white, you know, something that we would kind of ascribe to heavenly and angelic, right. but definitely wasn't. So the enemy has the ability to disguise into something that feels good and clean and pure, but it's only trapping you into these other things. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that story popped up to me because we're talking about voice, which a lot of times we're thinking of this as an audible thing, but it's God. He surpasses all of our senses. So it really can be where you're getting your confirmations, where you're hearing God's voice from. Mm-hmm. Could be visual, audible, any of those things. But I love that comparing it to scripture is going to be the end all.
Yeah, it's number one answer. And I did hear about things people were worried about, or people were being misled by Satan because he was directing them to a certain scripture, mm-hmm. or they thought that they were hearing God's voice direct them to a certain mm-hmm. scripture, but it was scripture that was way out of context. Oh, twisted. And so he's trying to use even God's word against us. Mm-hmm. But if you get into God's word, that is God's voice. Yeah. Then, but I think a lot of people can hear it with gut feeling. A lot mm-hmm. of people can hear it through TV, through music, through other people speaking words in their life. They can hear it like me in their own head. Mm-hmm. Just, I think what we should probably leave the listeners with is that we really need to compare it to God's word and not just one verse, but, you know, really read the context of it. Dive into it, because God will, if you pray to him and ask him for guidance, like, where at in your Bible, in your word, should I go to for my answers?
Right.
And then he'll definitely give you an answer on that.
I think if to like something about God's voice, I thought about while we were talking right now too, is a while ago, I started this study from the Bible Project guys who were, oh, it was a podcast I was going through. They like unpack each book of the Bible.
Yeah.
And a few months ago when we were starting this Bible in a year, or year of the Bible, Bible in a year, I wanted to go through, and I kind of fell off of this, and now this is reminding me to get back on it, is to study along with them as we start a new book, mm-hmm. to listen to the podcast that they put together about it in Genesis. I mean, they go really detailed, and so there's multiple episodes on each book. But in Genesis, they're talking about it's the voice of God he used his voice to say out loud, let there be light, let there be this, and that it's his voice. There's all the power that's in his voice. It talked about like the spirit over the water that we talk about in Genesis, that the like Hebrew for the word also, or is related to the word that means breath. So he's breathing, and that, in a way, it's coming, you know, from your mouth and is a voice. And something that was just profound to me is that in Genesis, this is something they mentioned, I've thought about this multiple times, and I could be wrong about whether this is the first thing or maybe it's the only thing recorded, but definitely one of them, if not the first thing that God audibly says to humans is after Adam and Eve have sinned. Like, they know that all of these things have been given to them. They know the rules. And to me, it's unclear in scripture whether he audibly said, this is what I've given you, or if they were just born and they knew mm-hmm. deep down, right? Maybe it was that gut. And they knew when they were being tricked and decided to eat the fruit anyway and stuff like that. But one of the first things, if not the first thing, that God audibly says after he's walking through the garden in the cool of the evening, it says, and they heard him walking. And what does God say? Where are you? Mm. Is what he says. Mm. And so I think another indicator, which this is in scripture, of whether this is God or not, is the essence of God is in wanting a relationship with us.
Right.
And if he is, of course he knows, of course he knew where they are, right? Yep. Of course he knows. Mm. He's not asking because he doesn't know the answer.
Right.
He's asking because he wants an answer from you. And so to me, for anyone feeling far from God and feeling like you are not hearing him or too far to hear God's voice, that is something that he will say is, where are you? And he knows exactly where you are. He knows what all of your thoughts are, but he's still looking for the response to say, here I am. And then he's going to talk more after that. Mm-hmm. Right. But if he said, where are you? And Adam never said anything, I wonder what would have happened, because this is an agreement that you go into with God to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's so much power in the fact that he had to ask, where are you?
Yeah.
He wants that conversation. So people who aren't talking to God, I might go so far as to say, are you going to expect to hear from him if you aren't talking to him? Mm-hmm. He wants the exchange.
Yeah, for sure.
He wants it to go both ways.
So, yeah, we might not be hearing God's voice because we aren't seeking a relationship with them, where it's pretty one-sided. Is that what you're trying to say? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just that if for anyone who's like listening to this episode and is like, maybe the concept of the voice of God just feels far or not possible or not real. Like I can definitely relate to feeling like, I remember not being Christian and hearing people who were Christian, like, God told me blah, 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 blah. Or God's calling me to this, and me just being like, yeah, okay, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Right. But now when we're born again and we enter into that relationship with him, I really do think that we get, you know, some of those old habits might slip right back into your life, but I really do think that he gives us new eyes and new ears and new hearts and new ways to be in relationship with him. It doesn't mean that every attribute of our character is going to change. Probably at first, because we're really excited about being Christian, right. And then you realize that it takes work to do that, and you really got to keep on your stuff. But he gives you a whole new heart, and that's where a lot mm-hmm. of the world gets filtered through. So I think if you take advantage of the new things that he has given you when you truly enter into a relationship with him, you're going to get to hear him. It's not unreal when people say that they hear from God. It's not too far from anyone to hear from God. But yeah, I guess the main thing of what I'm saying is, if you're sitting there like, well, I don't hear from God, I've never heard his voice, and I don't know how I could even hear his voice. Do you give your voice to him? Do you talk to him? Mm-hmm. Do you sit there and truly and really mean it too? Not just be like, yeah, here I am, God, I'm trying to talk to you. When are you going to talk to me back? Yeah. Like, you can say that, but do you really mean it with your heart that you want to hear? I mean, this is it goes into a whole conversation about faith, right? Faith of a mustard seed. You can have the tiniest little faith in the world, but if you absolutely know that God can move the mountain, he's going to move it. Mm-hmm. But it's our minds that stops us, even though we can say it with our mouth. I believe that you can move that mountain. And I really believe he means that physically, like an actual mountain, yeah. Not just like a metaphorical hard time in your life mountain, but like a legit mountain. I really think he means it to be a physical mountain. If our mind could get out of the way and we actually believed with all logic mm-hmm. would go out the window, of course, and our minds just don't let us do that. But if they did, that's what would happen. Mm-hmm. So if we take that little amount of faith and we apply it to, I'm going to talk to God because I have enough faith. I know he wants a relationship with me, and he's going to talk back to me. He's going to speak to me the way that he wants to speak to me. And there's no guidelines to like how it needs to happen for you. I know people who know they have heard an audible voice from God. And then I go like, is his voice deep? Like, what does it sound
what
like?
What does it sound like?
You know,
is it really Morgan Freeman style or no?
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
All right. Sounds good. I think we left you all with some good information, and let us know in the comments mm-hmm. how you hear God's voice. Like, does he speak to you through writing, through poems, mm-hmm. through music, through videos, gut feelings?
Nature, what is it? Where's the connection point?
Nature, what is the connection that you have? And, you know, if you're asking yourself the same question, seek a relationship like Meg was talking about. Seek a relationship with God. Just don't treat him like a vending machine. Mm-hmm. And you will definitely have a two-way street with God. It definitely works that way. So, and then if you all else fails and you still are unsure if what you're hearing is God's voice, go into God's word, the Bible, and read it, search in it, and grab the correct context.
Yeah.
And I think a little bit to tag on to what you were just saying, in Luke, last night, the reading, there was one verse in there, and I can't remember what it is, and I can't grab my phone right now. But it was so instrumental because Jesus was saying something like, I've given you all the lessons. They're all right here, but you guys are too stubborn to just obey it. And there are such easy laws, right? Or such easy reasons. So, all right, everyone, I hope you have a good rest of your week. We're going to have a couple of oddball episodes that are coming out as we have things going up. But we look forward to getting back in the sermon series really soon.
Yeah. Thanks for listening and being a part of Open Ended. We really love that this can be a platform where you're talking to us too, speaking of voices.
Yeah.
Like that comment section, it's not for stats. We want to know what you think, and we want to interact and engage with you. This is a open-ended conversation, right?
Open-ended conversation.
So, yeah. And you can always email us at openended@eurekafaithcenter.org and follow us on Instagram.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Meg. It was a great conversation today. Yeah. And we will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.